You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Get It Right, Texoma. We are here live in the MagTech Solutions studios in Wichita Falls, Texas. I'm Mike Hendren.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Well, I guess it's kind of Memorex, actually. Yeah. Well, we're live at the moment.
I was going to say, you're not watching it live.
We're not recording this.
We're recording live.
Well, how do you record dead? Obviously, you're recording live.
I don't know.
I always thought that was the dumbest thing on TV. This is recorded live.
Yeah.
Well, no shit. Well, how is he going to record it?
I know. Audience, yeah.
So. Well, people have asked me, how long do you plan to work? And I said, well, until I'm dead, and then for about 2 months after that.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala, and we have a very special guest with us in the studio. This time around, Mr. Donnie Lee, the superintendent of the Wichita Falls Independent School District.
Right.
How are you today?
Doing great. Great to be here.
Oh, great. Well, we talk about local events and local happenings. We interview local subjects, politicians,
celebrities,
and
yes.
And he is more celebrity than politician. He's not elected to anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he's hired by an elected body.
There you go.
That's how that works.
That's how that works.
But a couple of local things we'll mention first as we lead off today. Camp Center for the Arts. I happen to be on one of the executive committees for the Cowboy True Cultural Initiative, and the Jack Stevens Legacy Exhibit is a big part of that right now. Jack Stevens was a local artist who created some incredible works.
Oh, this guy was fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, this guy left behind an amazing body of work. And that exhibit is going to be at the Kemp Center for the Arts downtown Wichita Falls on Lamar through April the 20th.
If you're about our age, it used to be the library.
Yes. Yeah, it used to be the old public library.
And the neat thing about it, and I don't want to get too deep into the woods because obviously we are too deep in the weeds because obviously we have a guest.
Right.
But it's not only some of his exhibits. He also had, apparently he wrote letters to the people that purchased the exhibits, and some of those letters are there. So he wrote a personalized when he was commissioned, he would write a personalized note about the art of the piece and all that. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he did an incredible amount of work, and you can see some of his exhibits and some of those letters and lots of other stuff. I know there's some contributions on his work from the family. Of course, his family is all behind this exhibit, but again, it's going to be at the Kemp Center through April the 20th this year. Parks and Recreation's after-school fishing program, it says 6:30 p.m. on April 30, May 2nd, May 7th, and May 9th. Actually, 4:30 to 6:30, I should say. South Weeks Pond is where that's going to happen. Kids ages 5 through 16 are going to get some expert instruction on how to fish.
That's right.
How to bait a hook, how to cast, how to set the drag on your reel, all that good stuff. All the things you need to know to be an effective fisherman, you're going
to
learn.
I think it's interesting. I think that's great. You know, get kids out. There's a lot of kids that need some exposure to the outdoors and they don't have. And this is a good opportunity to get experts out there. So if you don't know yourself how to fish or how to take your kid fishing, go out there and let an expert help you. And they have some fishing gear for availability for to borrow, but it's limited. So get in soon. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, it's you can use one of theirs. And speaking of kids needing some exposure to something like this, I'm going to imagine there's probably a few kids in Wichita Falls ISD that could benefit from learning how to fish.
You bet. Yeah, they know how to fish on their phone.
That's about it. But maybe not
how to bait a hook and all of that. So I bet there'd be a lot of beneficial value to that.
By the way, setting a drag in 2024 may be a different term than setting a drag in 1974.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly what kind I'm setting. So anyway, Donnie Lee, our guest, again, Wichita Falls ISD superintendent, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so tempted to call him Mr. Lee because, you know, back in the day, if we had not done that, we would have gotten slapped. So
we'd have gone to the office.
Yeah, there you go.
Get sent to the get punished. So how long have you been in the role now as superintendent?
See, I got here in August of 22, so I've been here about 19 months.
Wow!
Yeah,
been a lot of things going on. A lot of changes. Things.
That's right. It's almost 2 years has flown by. It's just one thing right after another. Kept me busy. Days fly by. Right when you accomplish one thing, you can't celebrate too long because you got something else to do. But I like the pace. Yeah. I've liked the challenge, and it's been both of those.
Yeah. You came to us from where?
I was in Buna, which is southeast Texas, right on the Louisiana border. So kind of by Beaumont.
Yeah.
And right, I'd say 30 miles to the Louisiana border. So southeast Texas, humidity, crawfish, all that. And then, you know, I thought I'd come up north and it'd be cooler. But no.
Not as humid.
Not as humid.
Well, real quick, give us a little bit of background about yourself. I mean, we've talked on the radio before, but we have a new set of listeners here and viewers and stuff like that. Just give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Yeah.
I grew up... my mom was married multiple times to different military men, so I moved around a lot. So I had, 8 different stepdads. So that why I always say that is because that caused us to move constantly. I mean, I was born in Idaho. We moved to California when I was 1. When I was 2, we moved to Jacksonville Beach, Florida, because that's where her mom was at. Spent a lot of time there, and then we kind of just traveled west. We lived in Mobile, Alabama because of the, in the Navy. Biloxi, Mississippi, just kept moving this way, and then finally ended up at the Peel, Arkansas, which is the Ozarks, Yelville Summit, Flippin, where Ranger boats are manufactured. I was there for a while, and then Wake Village, Texas, Redwater, Texas, Texarkana, Texas, and I ended up graduating high school from Redwater, Texas. So I was always 1 or 2 years at every school, so always that new kid and all of that. So I really understand when kids that we have here at Wichita Falls are really transient. Very mobile, move a lot. Of course, I grew up in abstract poverty. You know, we were homeless for 2 years when we were in Peel, Arkansas. We lived on Bull Shoals Lake in a little camper, and we bathed in the lake and things like that. So we understand completely what that looks like, what that feels like, no running water, no electricity, and what that does to your grades in school and your friends and all of the above. And so that's kind of how I grew up. And then through a whole bunch of events that I won't get into here, I ended up back living with one of my stepdads and kind of got my life straight and graduated from high school dead last. We had 62 kids. I was number 62, but I made it. And got into a little community college because I couldn't get into university, obviously, because of my grades. But through that 2-year community college at Texarkana, TC, shout out to them. And then I got my grades were great. Got a scholarship to go to Stephen F. Austin. Graduated from there.
Go Lumberjacks.
Yep, Axum, and did well at Stephen F. And my first teaching job was in Longview, and I was a teacher coach, football coach, basketball coach, special education teacher, and then just progressed from there. Went to Palestine, did the same thing. Bullard is where I spent almost 10 years and got into administration. I was assistant principal there, high school principal right next door to that at Frankston, and then I was a superintendent in Oakwood. Had 200 students, and that's pre-K through 12. Stayed there for a few years, went to Buna, where I just came from, had about 1,500 students, and here I am.
Wow.
There's a journey.
And how many students do we have here?
800,000.
Maybe 20 years ago. We have right at 13,000 now.
Wow. Yeah. That's
which is pretty crazy because when I was on the school board, I've been gone for about 8 years now, but I want to say – a decade ago, we were closer to 15,000 students.
Correct, yeah. And in 15 years ago, it was almost 20,000.
Right.
Yeah, so enrollment's been declining.
Well, that's interesting, but the population has pretty much stayed the same.
Correct.
Well, let's address that, I guess, since you've kind of dovetailed into that a little bit. What do you think, or what have you, or maybe you guys have identified something or several things, what is causing the decline in enrollment within the Wichita Falls ISD? Where are the students going? Is it just, they simply graduate and we're not adding new students, or they're moving to other districts? What's happening?
That is a very layered answer because it's multiple things. It's always not just one thing.
Oh, sure.
And so parents have more choices these days. When we went to school, you went to your public school, and maybe if you were rich, your parents took you to private school.
Yeah.
Other than that, that was pretty much the options. That's not the options anymore. We have a robust homeschool program. We've got charter schools. You got Premier. You got Wichita Christian. You got all these schools. And then now you have a bunch of local schools around the main ISD, so with City View and Holiday and Burke. So there's choice.
Right.
The legislator says that we want school choice and to enact it. Well, parents already have it. And so that's one area. And then there's the issue of Some parents do not like sending their kid to huge schools. You know, I've talked with many parents that these schools are humongous. We want our kid to go to a district that there's only a couple hundred kids at. Mm-hmm. And so that's always played a factor in it. And so there's a lot of issues. When COVID happened, the homeschool element kicked in, and then a lot of parents thought, that's a great idea. I'm going to homeschool my kid. Mm. And actually, that's where we lose the majority of the kids at Wichita Falls ISD. Really? By far. Yeah. It's homeschool. And there's not a lot of school going on at home for most of them, but that's where they go. And we get some of those back, and they're way behind, and we try to catch them up. But that's if we had to pick one spot, it's homeschooling.
Well, and I know several parents that homeschool. It's a huge task. It's
huge.
You got to be very dedicated to it.
Yes, you do.
Very dedicated to it. And in fact, the very first time I encountered someone who was homeschooled was freshman or sophomore year in college. Met this girl that was homeschooled her whole life, and ended up graduating high school at like 16 years old. Mm-hmm. She's 18 and she's already 2 years into college, and you know, she was way too smart for me to hang out with, for sure. And you know, so I think sometimes it can be very successful, but it requires a tremendous amount of dedication. And I think probably when COVID happened, a lot of people didn't. A lot of hard lessons were learned about how that works.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing we could have ever done was shut down our schools and force everybody to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shutting down the economy was...
What fat guy who works on North Scott at a dump motorcycle shop, dumb fat guy, was the first person on News Talk 1290 to scream from the top of my lungs, "This is a huge mistake"?
That would have been you.
It would have been a huge mistake. Yeah.
It was a huge mistake.
I was public about it, Donnie, from the day one, because I was worried about those unseen kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because when I was on the board, I had kids like that in my district.
Yeah.
And I was worried about – I wasn't worried about my kids. My kids would have been fine.
Sure. You
know, my kids had a couple parents at home, or even one dedicated parent. Mm-hmm. They had a lot going on. But those kids who are already facing abuse or already facing neglect – and now we're going to lock them in with them. And I was screaming from the top of my lungs, these are the kids I'm afraid of. Because we have kids in our district that the only time that they're safe is at that school building.
That's right.
When they see that bus driver in the morning that picks them up and the bus driver drops them off, that is the safest part of their life.
That's right.
And everything else is not. And when we get those adults, those teachers and those administrators and those bus drivers and those cafeteria workers and the janitors and all those people who keep eyes on these kids, it helps keep those kids safer.
Yep, that's right.
So on that note, though, you were down at your other district during COVID.
Correct.
So obviously you had kind of mandates that came down from various the state.
Yep, that's right.
But even then how did y'all deal with that, and what would you do different if that happens again?
You know, I did exactly what Trey said. We shut down when we had to shut down, when schools were not even allowed open. And remember, that was that period of March to May, and everybody kind of regrouped in the summer, and then a vast majority of school districts stayed closed. Yeah. Well, we didn't, because I 100% agree with Trey. We said we're going to get our kids out. Our elementary kids are going to play. You know, that's a fundamental factor with them. We're going to feed them. Our socioeconomic kids, our poverty kids, they need to be there and they need to be learning. And took a lot of blowback with that. Took some national blowback, because one kid got very sick, ended up on a defibrillator. So we had HBO at Little Bitty Obuna and all these national, "What are you doing? You don't care about kids." I said, "I absolutely care about kids, and that's why they're here.
That's why we're doing it."
And so, you know, I don't know if I would look back and say we would do anything different, except one thing that I regret is that I would have never put masks on elementary kids. And I think that was a travesty.
Yes.
You know, everybody think, "Hey, you have to do it." And our board was scared.
Again, you can't. It's one of those things that you have to just deal with the masses in a way. And you make the exceptions for those that need the extra help or whatever. You know, the need that.
But guys, you know, here's the thing. Everybody, all we heard about was, "Oh, you got to get these N95 masks. Everybody's got to have those."
That's right.
Pick up a box of these masks, turn the box over, and read the back of it. Not for medical use.
That's right.
If trying to prevent the spread of a virus is not a medical use. What exactly is it?
Well, the masks hold spittle. The reason they wear them in surgery, and we're going to get way too off topic, so we don't need to go there. But they hold it because it holds spittle and stuff. Yeah. But like I told people, and I was ostracized quite a bit because our store stayed open. Mm-hmm. We required no mask and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I told people, I said, we're not doing that. And they said, why? And I said, because I graduated sixth grade science. And I understand airflow. So,
Exactly.
Simple. So, moving on.
Wait a minute, Trey. Interesting time. You didn't invest in thousands of dollars worth of plexiglass?
No. I'm not going to use the language I use because Donnie Lee is here, and out of respect for him, but to clean it up, I got my term to everybody was piss off. When people said, you need to do this, it was a little stronger with most people as well. But anyway.
I want to talk about the new high schools because we're just a few months away now.
Is there something new?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard anything about that.
They threw up these new boxes out there in the middle of nowhere. That's not in the middle of nowhere, but they're close to either side of Wichita Falls. Yet these two brand new high schools that are slated to open August, what's the target date?
Yep, that's right. They'll be open August 24, 25 this year.
Okay.
Now, we'll get temporary occupancy where we can go in, and we'll take tours of the community probably in June.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
So we move furniture in. We call it FF&E, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. You're talking every desk, every chair. That is getting moved in April 1st at Memorial. So, I mean, it's here.
That's okay. Good. That's
all awesome. Right. So you've got... Now you're just putting the finishing touches on this.
That's correct. At Memorial now. Yeah. And Legacy's a month behind because of all, it sits up on the hill.
A lot of dirt work. Yeah.
And so they're about 3 weeks behind. So we'll move furniture, fixtures, and equipment in there in the middle of May and then get temporary occupancy probably June.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to touring these myself. I want to see what these look like inside. Because I took a tour of the Career Center. Mm-hmm. Career and Technology Center.
CEC.
And just a huge, I was blown away by what I saw. And I thought, and I kept saying to people, why couldn't we have done this 20 or 30 years ago?
Right.
We just didn't have the mindset wasn't there.
I know.
And the mindset has changed so much. And the nice thing about it is because obviously in Wichita Falls, we hang on to buildings. We have a tendency to hang on to old buildings. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is these buildings are updated, and Donnie can speak to this much more than I can. But I was involved in the planning and all that of the CEC because I was on the board when all that happened, and the board president when we passed the bond, by the way. But in the planning and all that. So it's amazing the technology and ideas and thoughts about creating the spaces now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The old technology was you built a box and you built a bunch of little boxes inside the box.
That's
it. And nowadays, it's flexible spaces.
It's
the way that the whole education is delivered. It's amazing. And the building can become part of your educational delivery just like it is at the CEC.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a little bit about, homeschoolers and private schools and all that. The reality is that for the vast majority of the population, public school is away.
That's right.
They're going to go.
Yep.
It's private schools can get very expensive very quickly, and homeschool is not for everybody.
That's right.
There's just, we need a literate, educated society.
Yes, we do, an educated populace.
There's a few things I wish we would add, one of those being financial literacy. Mm-hmm. I think too many people get out of high school, and we used to talk about being able to balance a checkbook. Never mind balancing the checkbook now. Just being able to count change back at a store. Come on. I mean, we don't have enough financial literacy, and I think but that gets into a whole other topic.
But if you put your tinfoil hat on and the government gets their way, Mike, you won't have any change anymore.
I don't even want to think about that. That's a nightmare.
So on the... if you wouldn't mind, go a little bit more in depth in what the schools offer. I know it could be a long discussion. But how does the building itself lend to the educational education of the kids here?
You mentioned that it's flexible. And so I'll give you a couple examples. One is in a traditional school that wastes a lot of space. You can think of two areas. One is the library. Our librarians don't like to hear that, but the libraries have shifted from many hundreds of kids coming in each week and checking out books to 10 books a month. And so you've got these huge spaces 2,000, 3,000 square feet that mm-hmm. aren't being used very much. Mm-hmm. So at Memorial and Legacy, there is not a traditional library. When you walk in, they are book stacks that move against the wall. So, you know, you can pull them apart, and there's about eight of them. And then if you're not checking out a book, they're just sitting on the wall on rollers, and that's it. And now you have the whole open space in the middle of the school because that's where it sits, in the middle of when you walk into the school, the main opening. Mm-hmm. That's the library area.
You know, and that's not a totally new concept.
Kirby
had it that way. Because back in the day, I don't know what Kirby looks like now. I haven't been in that building in 35 years. But back in the day, there were very few traditional classrooms. You had dividers.
On the upstairs, it was the old pod system.
Yeah.
Where you walked in, and you walked in, and everything was wide open. It was a pod, and you just had your bulletin boards that divided people.
Yeah, but
gone in and made classrooms up in that temporary room.
Yeah, the first main space you entered was that library. Mm-hmm. And it was all out in the open.
Yeah.
I'm shocked and a little saddened that more books aren't being checked out. Yeah. I'm old school. I still like to pick up a book. I've got devices and I read stuff on my computer or tablets or whatever. I've got a Kindle reader that I've had for 38 years now. But I mean, I've
kickstart the damn thing. It's been a whole
crank it up. But I still like to pick up a book.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still that way, and it kind of saddens me that we don't have more of that going on. It really does.
I'm the same way. I like the smell of a newspaper, the turn pages of a book, but kids, they pick up that phone, they pick up their tablet, they read if they do read on there, and they get their news off Twitter or TikTok now.
Oh.
And so that's
where
we're at.
That's
a whole other thing. That's right. And so we have to maximize the space that we have.
So that was one example. What's your other example?
The auditorium. So generally you have auditoriums that are massive structures, and ours is too, and you can only use it if you've got a play or a practice. So in other words, you have an 8-period day, you're using it 1 period a day. Well, these auditoriums, they're flexible spaces where the seats fold in, we have dividers up above the wall, and now there's 8 classrooms. And so they're using them all day, every day, instead of 1 period, 1 day.
So a big part of the concept here sounds like is we have no wasted space.
That's correct.
We're utilizing every square foot of everything that we've built.
Yes.
In some way, in some manner, day. We're getting some utility out of it constantly.
Constantly.
And, of course, one of the biggest things with some of the older buildings is how technology works. You rely on Wi-Fi for a lot of stuff.
That's right.
Some of these older buildings, they're block and brick and steel, signals don't travel through brick very well.
Think about it. Most of the inventory we have in the WFIST as far as buildings, those buildings were built before there was anything such as Wi-Fi or internet and even air conditioning.
Right.
Most of them have been retrofitted to air conditioning. Air conditioning didn't exist.
And
they were nuclear hardened.
That's right.
They were leased to facility.
Well, I've been told that back in the day, Booker T. Washington, when it was opened as a high school eons ago, was like the first one in town to have air conditioning.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there's a whole story behind that. But Booker T. Washington was the first high school with air conditioning.
High tech.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was in the 1960s, I guess.
Early
60s. So, it's very recent history that we've had a lot of these creature comforts in our schools.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've evolved, it sounds like we've evolved immensely in just the last few decades.
That's right.
And what we're building now is a whole lot more useful, it sounds like.
Yep.
If it mirrors anything like what the Career and Technology Center is, I can see where it's going to be very, very useful in many ways.
Is there a thought that, because I understand what people parents think sometimes when they're going, hey, I don't want my kids in a big school. I want my kids in a smaller school.
Yeah.
But inherently, and I've said this as an advocate for the Wichita Falls ISD for years, is you're not going to get Holiday, City View, Henrietta. Those are all really good school districts. They've got a lot to offer, but you can't offer the kind of stuff you can offer in Wichita Falls ISD simply because of sheer size. I mean, the budgetary concerns and all that.
Scale.
That's right.
Yep.
So. Are these the way of teaching and the changing of the way that kids learn, will that be where it may be a large school, but it'll feel smaller because kids are going to be learning in different groups and things like that, maybe attract some of those kids back?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, it's 400,000 square feet, so it's massive. So you won't feel like you're inside a tight structure like, say, McNeil, where you got 1,200 kids and it feels pretty It's crowded.
Oh my God, rider, when you, a rider, right? Be in the hallways of rider when the bell rings, folks. Yeah. You better get up against the wall.
So they're going to be in for a treat when they see that. Secondly, is that we got our juniors and seniors moving constantly. They're going to MSU. They're going to Vernon. You know, they're going to the CEC. So that building is 1,950 capacity, but there'll only be about half full throughout the day because of all the kids going. It'll look like a small university. Oh. And so it will not feel crowded because of those reasons.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Now, the one on the hill, that's Legacy.
Legacy. Yes.
Which is you can almost throw a rock and hit the career and technology.
That's right. It's right beside it.
Right there.
Yes.
So,
yep.
So they don't have to travel very far.
They don't have to travel very far. Nope. And really, Memorial, I mean, they've got to go across town, and that's, you know, we've gotten spoiled because traffic's so awesome here that, you know, less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. I know a lot of – I've heard some people question, you know, how they're going to work out the logistics of the transportation. I'll give you an example. Someone that brought up to me, and I was like, I don't know. But they're talking about the closing of Hershey as a high school.
Correct.
And they're like, you've already got kids there that – can't get to school on time or get there at all sometimes, and they're two blocks away, three blocks away. How's this going to work when we're transporting them to the other side of town now?
Well, it's a couple of things. One, it just goes back to accountability. Got to hold them accountable. Two, they're not bus eligible now. So the kids that are in Hershey, most of those walk to school, most of those students. Most of the students at Old High, they're in the avenues. They walk to school, and they don't get to school on time either. And so the neighborhoods actually impede them from getting to school on time, and it impedes them from getting to school on time from lunch because we're open enrollment. They get in the neighborhood. They're hanging out with their friends. So now they're away at Legacy. They're away at Memorial. There's no neighborhoods around where busing them, they have a better opportunity to get to school on time. And then our teachers and our staff and our parents need to hold them accountable to get to school on time.
Have you, what kind of considerations have been taken? Because, you know, you're building these new schools. It's inevitable. And there's a lot of open space out there, especially on the west side.
Yep.
It's inevitable at some point that new homes are going to spring up out there. New neighborhoods are going to spring up out there. Growth is moving that direction. I think Legacy is going to see the same thing. I think you're going to see some new life and some new growth happen that way too. Mm-hmm. How's that going to be incorporated into the mix here and into the formula?
We've done that with Legacy. We feel like the growth, as you mentioned, will go towards Memorial, and all of that land has been purchased up. If you follow that,
yes, it is.
And on the other side of Legacy, all that commercial land's gone. They already built a Starbucks in less than 3 months. It's already up.
Yeah.
On purpose here, strategically put 1,900 kids at Legacy and 1,600 at Memorial that it would over time balance out because we figure that there's going to be a little bit more because of the housing boom that's going on that side. Yeah. And those apartment complexes, have you seen over there by Memorial?
Right, they're growing.
Yeah. They're growing, and they're almost finished. And so we figure
it's going up fast.
Yeah, it's going up real fast to coincide with the opening. So we just, over time, we want to keep those numbers pretty close and similar. And that's what we're doing. That's why you'll see Legacy's got 300 more kids to start the year.
Yeah.
Well, we talk a lot about, you know, growing Wichita Falls and growing the population. And I think it is inevitable that we are going to grow, you know, whether that's by, you know, 2% or 5% a year or whatever that number ends up looking like. But I think we are about to turn a corner in that respect, in that Wichita Falls will finally start to grow in population. I know as a real estate agent, I've already sold homes to people that have relocated here from the West Coast. Recently, some that have relocated from the Dallas-Fort Worth area to here. Mm-hmm. You know, and these are coming here, they're buying homes, they're establishing life here, and ultimately, some of those families are showing up. They're going to have kids with them.
That's right.
They may be babies now, but they're gonna be grade schoolers, junior high, and high schoolers at some point.
Yep.
And so the Wichita Falls ISD, I think, is poised for some growth over a period of time. And it sounds like you've already kind of factored that into the mix here. So.
Well, you know, the buildings are just that. They're buildings.
Yeah.
We've got to have great people working inside of them. We have to have a great culture. We have to be customer service driven. We have to have all these things because the school is a huge part of it. You know, a attracting and getting businesses to Wichita Falls, which Ron Kitchens with the Chamber is doing a great job in his team. So getting businesses here, we're starting to work on that. Mm-hmm. Having a great ISD that parents choose to send them to. You know, that's my job and my team's responsibility, and we're working very hard on that to say, here's what Wichita Falls is, here's what we're about, here's our vision, come with us, trust us with your kids.
So as we're winding down here, can you give us maybe the top two or three reasons why somebody should choose the WFISD? Say they're either moving into this area or they maybe live in Wichita Falls and go to an outlying school or homeschool or anything like that. Why would they choose Wichita Falls ISD?
Yeah, you know, if they have an elementary kid, you know, you could. I give you a layered answer here. One, and everybody says this, we have wonderful, wonderful at the elementary specialized programs. I mean, it's amazing the programs that are offered. We've got awesome teachers at those specialized programs, and that's what it all starts with.
Yes.
You can say everything else, but you have to have great teachers in the schools, and we really genuinely do. At the secondary levels, junior high and high schools, you mentioned it earlier, we offer programs that nobody can offer or match. We have 26 different pathways, and that's not just to go to college. If you're a wonderful welder, plumber, so on and so forth,
Computer tech, medical is a
it's phenomenal. Factor. You can go and get an industry-based certification by the time you graduate high school.
Yeah, I mean, Terry here, you know, he's in a business that is going to need, as his business grows and things evolve over time, mm-hmm. he's going to need young people that are tech-savvy.
Right. I have a graduate, if you will, of WFISD, went through the CEC,
there it is.
Ian Harwood. Mm-hmm. He actually had contacted me a couple years prior to even needing, he knew he was going to need observation period or whatever.
That's
for
right.
His program.
Yeah, mentor.
And he came and seeked us out directly. And yeah. So we hooked him up and he's working for us now.
Yeah. So it's great. Yeah. And that's just, and then you get on into all the other, we have wonderful extracurriculars with arts and our bands are phenomenal. Athletics. I mean, the facilities are going to be first class. You're not going to be able to compete with our facilities, and we're excited about that when they open. So just a lot of exciting things on the future.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
It is. Guys, anything else that we haven't talked about?
Donnie, is there anything else you want to throw in there?
I think we covered it. I'm just glad to be here, glad to spread the good news of Wichita Falls ISD and the things that we've got going on and our team, and we just look forward to wrapping this year up and getting our new schools open in 2024-25.
Donnie, I'd like to have you back soon to talk about, as we get closer to the opening of the high schools,
sure will.
And talk about how things are lining up and what things are happening, and kind of, you know, give everybody a refresher on what the future holds here.
I sure will.
This is big news for Wichita Falls.
Yeah,
first,
it is.
You know, new facilities that we've had in high school facilities in over half a century.
Yeah, yeah.
Well over half a century.
It's in the 60s, right? Ryder was the last one. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. 1963 or something. Yeah.
So 60 plus years now.
Yeah.
So
it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Donnie Lee, Superintendent Wichita Falls ISD. Thank you.
Thank you
very much for
being
here.
Y'all.
Guys, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Obviously, if you're watching us, you're watching on YouTube, so you already know you can get the podcast that way, but you can also get the audio portion on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. Till next time, take care. See you down the road.